It's about how to be engaged citizens.
We're going to have to leave it there, but you can find out more on the website at thepeacepatriots.com. Robbie Lepser, award-winning independent documentary filmmaker, congratulations
on
the film. And that does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdel-Qaddous, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Maddie Harper, Frank Lopez, Jenny Utes, Mike DeFilippo, and Nick Marsilio, our engineers. Special thanks to Danielle Stramberg-Peshkin, Megan Whitney. Our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And this is radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. Time for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. I'm sorry for the delay and the confusion. Wouldn't you know it, the first time ever I'm using this, well, actually not the first time, but the first time officially I'm using this delay system, someone has to go and mess it all up. Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out all this time because, you know, it's supposed to be nice and simple. You're supposed to turn things up. And guess what some dunderhead did? They unplugged everything and patched in all sorts of other things specifically so it wouldn't work. I know why, too, because it's a lacrosse game tonight, and somehow that's got something to do with this. Lacrosse game is messing up the whole campus. Can't find parking anywhere. There's traffic all over the place. And we're 15 minutes shorter tonight as a result. Yeah, I know. But it's important. It's like a playoff or something. With all the increased attention on lacrosse in the news lately, I guess we need to grab as much as we can. And unfortunately, the university feels compelled to stick these ugly banners up all over town. So for that reason alone, I'm hoping that we lose tonight so they can take the damn banners off. We have this historic train trestle crosses Nichols Road right by Route 25A. And if any of you in the past have ever taken it upon yourselves to paint something on it or hang a sign, you'll know that that's tantamount to terrorism in this town. You'll be drawn and quartered, hung and skewered, whatever the punishment is for this particular decade. You're seen as an enemy of the state because you're de-beautifying our community. I think that's even the phrase. However, when big money interests can come in and simply throw their particular sign over our nice historic trestle, well, that's okay. I don't think so. I think that's a double standard, if not more. I would have been rooting for the lacrosse team, but that's two strikes against me so far, all right? Making the trestle ugly, causing all kinds of traffic, and messing with the delay system. Three reasons that, strike three, you're out. That's it. Finished. Done. All right. Now, I want to do this show in delay, so, you know, I had it all set up. It was all going to work perfectly. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play something else, and then I'm going to come back as if none of this ever happened, except for what I just said about the lacrosse team, because I need it. And then I'll be in delay, hopefully, unless someone else comes in and unplugs something. Let's hope it sounds nice and smooth. Because I want to talk with the music under me, you know, that's part of the whole magic. When it's at a proper level, you can sort of train your thoughts to go along with the mood of the music, or not. So we're going to play this particular public service announcement, and then magically, I'm going to come back, and I'll be in delay and you won't. Well, maybe you will be too, but it doesn't really matter. Listen to this.
If you want to know what has kept the sounds of WSB Stony Brook as distinctive and idiosyncratic as they are,
you need look no further than our recently retired general manager, Norman Crosland. Join us on Saturday, April 29th, as WUSB and some of Long Island's finest musicians pay tribute to the man, the legacy.
The place?
Berkner Hall at Brookhaven National Lab, up to New York. The time?
6 p.m. to midnight. The musicians, the others.
Buddy Miriam, Terry Carney,
Mike Soloway, Sam Taylor,
Jack LaCitra, Raving Mad, and a slew of other performers.
Tickets can be purchased at TicketWeb.com.
Make sure to look for the show called Above the Norm. Or you can make a $20 pledge to WUSB's Spring Radiothon by calling 631-632-6901.
Or by just showing up at the door, April 29th, Brookhaven National Lab. Berkner Hall?
We'll be looking for you.
See you there.
Now, if I did this properly, I'm coming out seamlessly, and you can't even tell that I'm in delay right now. Of course, I'm a little paranoid, so I have to sort of go back and make sure that I'm actually there, and I am. I'm there. I can't really attest to how I sound. I sound fine here, but I'm not sure how I sound there. I'm going to try to adjust the volume and levels and things like that, and hopefully it's indistinguishable from live, except for the fact that I keep talking about it not being live. Right. You know, there's a satellite dish, a big satellite dish in the parking lot downstairs, in the Union parking lot. Cablevision satellite dish. I guess this game is so big that even the cable TV network is here to cover it. Maybe it's for that sports network thing they have. One of my 500 sports network things. The college sports network they got. I don't know. Okay, so the fact that we have the delay system working at long last means that we actually are able to take phone calls. So our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. We'll take phone calls in a little while, maybe in about 15 minutes because we are abbreviated. And I'll give the phone number out again. Please sit by your telephones or by your radios or both and try to call at the same time because I don't want it to pick up if one person's calling. Because if that person happens to be a crazy person, you know, then what do we do after we talk to them, you know, or try to move on to the next caller who isn't there? You see, it's a conundrum. So, and we understand that a lot of people, when they call in, they get disconnected if they don't get picked up on right away. And that's sad. That's a tragedy, but that's the way the phone system works these days. Okay, so we're going to try that, and we'll give out the number just a little bit again, and at that point, give us a call. Keeping in mind that those of you listening on the Internet are delayed probably by about a minute or so, it shouldn't be that bad. Shouldn't be that bad. We're delayed by a lot more than that sometimes. Okay, we have some interesting news items. I saw an interesting news item. I talked about this on the other show last week, and I talked about on this show last week yet another news. I seem to be bouncing into news items everywhere I go. Right now, I just passed that big satellite dish. That's a news item. But before that, there was Molly the Cat. I talked about Molly the Cat last week, the black cat that was... that was stuck behind. I guess the color of the cat doesn't really matter, does it? Well, it's just for, you know, a pictorial depiction of what the cat looked like. And maybe why it was so hard to find, because it was black, or I don't know. The point is, I ran into that story by simply driving over to Hudson Street and sticking my head up against a wall and hearing a cat meowing while the Channel 5 news team looked on and gave the weather. Last week, just about a week ago, actually, I found out about this on my way into the city in the middle of the night, that a tram full of people had gotten stuck above the East River. Actually, two trams full of people. Not quite full, but two trams with people on them had gotten stuck. And for those of you from other countries, or I guess from any country other than our country where things are always backwards, a tram is not the thing that rides around on rails on a street like you might expect, and then you'd wonder why people are trapped in there above the East River. No, in our case, it's a contraption that runs on a rope. And actually, it's not the contraption running on the rope that's happening so much, it's the whole rope moving at the same time. So it doesn't actually move on the rope. In any event, it got stuck, and for some reason they couldn't power it and get it to go to the other side. In fact, both of them couldn't go to the other side because they moved together. And they had to devise this... Or put together this rescue craft that actually moved along the rope or cable, whatever you want to call it, kind of this little caged thing, this little red caged apparatus, which I would not trust for a second. But these people had no choice; they had to climb out of the tram 250 feet above the East River and jump onto this thing, which I think could only hold about 10 people at once, and then somehow make it all the way back down. Boy, it was scary. I drove in, and I just happened to park my car, walk over, and see what all the fuss was about as it was wrapping up for the night. There was a crane that had rescued the people on the Manhattan side, and the crane was just leaving. And wouldn't you know it, just doing that, people saw me on TV, just walking over to see what's going on and walking away. All these people are glued to the TV sets, and not a trick is missed. So, okay, so I saw that, and, you know, all these things were completely unintentional. I just happened to have heard of these stories, and I was in the neighborhood, so I figured, well, okay, let's see what's going on here. It's always kind of interesting to see news stories as they unfold. You always notice certain weird things. And it's pretty weird seeing all these different police cars and rescue vehicles of all sorts that you don't normally see in a tram high up in the sky. A couple of weeks before that, I just happened to be in Brooklyn, the very day that the huge sinkhole occurred that swallowed up an SUV. Oh, that was good. That was good. The SUV just fell right into a sinkhole in the middle of Brooklyn. Nobody was hurt, except for the SUV. And that was that. I just happened to be around for that. I took a look. Wow, that's a big hole. Moved on my way. Later that same night, I just happened to be in a part of Brooklyn where all of a sudden all these cops converged all over the place. Nobody would say what was going on, and the people who asked were threatened. Can you imagine that? It's like organized crime. You didn't see nothing. Move on. and the people who lived there were kind of talking back a little bit, saying, look, I live down the street. Tell me what's going on. And you want to be arrested? You want to be arrested? Because I'll do it. I'll do it right now. And just treating people like garbage, like you're their servants. I got news for you. Cops are the people's servants. And they can't talk to us that way, even though they do. So apparently there had been some kind of a shooting, and there was a helicopter. There was a helicopter going all over the neighborhood, back and forth. So you'd think, if they're looking for somebody, if somebody's on the run, they're probably somebody who was involved in the shooting, which means they probably had a gun, which means they're probably dangerous. Don't you think the people of the street should know about that? You know, be on the lookout for this guy running around, dressed like this, scars in various portions of his body or whatever, just something so people don't have to walk blindly into another crime scene. But no, they feel much better telling people to get out of here, do what I say, or else. It's much nicer seeing them on the scene of rescues, you know, rescuing a cat, rescuing people from the sky. That's what cops should be doing. Nice things like that. Things that they can be trained for. And, you know, catching criminals, too, because that is important. But not treating people, not treating the average citizens of the street, people you're supposed to be serving, not treating them like garbage. It's a lesson, I don't know what it's going to take for them to learn. And then you have another news story, which is unraveling right now. I'm not sure if I want to see this one. This could get kind of crazy. The NYPD has prepared a massive mobilization in Brooklyn to brace for crushing throngs and potentially unruly crowds that will come to mourn the spiritual leader of a Hasidic sect who just died, I think, 2 days ago, Grand Rebbe Moses Teitelbaum. He's wound up splitting the sect, and there could be clashes between supporters of Aaron Teitelbaum, who heads the Satmar faction in upstate Kiryas Joel? Do we have a state called Kiryas Joel? Is this story just written so badly that they mean upstate New York and they call Kiryas Joel, or maybe that's somebody else? I don't know. Let's just say upstate someplace, a faction over there. And his brother, yes, this is a fight between two brothers. His brother, Zelman, the leader of the Williamsburg, Brooklyn congregation. A police source says, you would hope nothing happens during this time, but we have to be prepared against an outbreak of fights between the two sides. It's called Operation Sundown. Yeah, they have a name for this, Operation Sundown. Police have 400 cops ready for anything that might happen. They have barriers to pen in the expected crowds. They're going to shut down the streets around the synagogue on Rodney Street in Williamsburg. The neighborhood's already been rocked by several beard-pulling brawls, including one between hundreds of worshippers outside the Rodney Street Synagogue last October. So, yeah, fun with Hasidics in Williamsburg. That's going to be a carnival for everybody. I, like I said, I'm not sure I'm going to watch that one in person, but I'll try to tune in on the TV set. We have a bunch of other stories that are making the news. And, of course, your letters, which are always welcome, otw@2600.com. Here's a story from Boston. Boston police fire on SUV. All right, there's more to the headline. There's more to it. But I'd be happy if it just stopped there, you know. Boston police fire on SUV driving on sidewalk, okay? There. So they had a legal reason. But, you know, the way these people are upsetting me, on the way over here, in fact, I was behind this one guy who's doing 20 miles an hour. They're either behind you wanting to do 100, or they're in front of you doing 20. And this guy who was driving this thing apparently was so afraid that he was driving an SUV that he was being extra cautious. Now, of course, I can understand being afraid of driving something that big, something that doesn't fit on the road, something that no one can see around, something that flips at the slightest sign of trouble and has all kinds of other safety issues, and if that's not enough, something that cost $100 to fill up at the pump. I can understand the trepidation. So don't drive the thing. Put it someplace else. Drive an economy car. Drive something safe. Drive something that other people can see around. And that doesn't exist just to intimidate people. But now, this guy was being extra cautious, driving 20 miles an hour, causing a real hazard in doing that. You know, I'm trying to see. Can I pass this guy? I can't see around him. It's like having a building in front of you. Meanwhile, oh my God, we're going 15 miles an hour. Must put on the brakes. Going down a hill now. Have to be careful. And what do you think happens? We get up to a T intersection with a stop sign. The guy rolls right through it at 12 miles an hour, doesn't even put on the brakes, cuts off another SUV. Oh, it's great to see SUVs yelling at each other. So, yeah, Boston, what do you call Boston police firing on an SUV? A good start. Oh, yes, I can make some SUV jokes right here. If you have SUV jokes, please send them on in. So Boston police fired shots at a man who sped through a busy sidewalk in a stolen SUV last Tuesday, smashing cars along the way, injuring four officers. The driver was shot once in the stomach while still inside the vehicle. It's kind of a hard shot to take, isn't it? If you're in the vehicle and you get shot at by the cops, how'd they get you in the stomach? Wouldn't they get you in the chest or the face or the arm or something? Well, anyway, I guess it's good they got him there. He was taken to a Massachusetts General Hospital. And officers are all going to be okay. This guy is facing a charge of receiving a stolen motor vehicle. Receiving a stolen motor vehicle. Okay. That means he didn't take it. It means somebody gave it to him. Assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. The dangerous weapon, of course, being the SUV. That's a good way to classify it, I guess. But, you know, a lot of people are writing in saying that a dangerous weapon of one sort is equivalent to a dangerous weapon of another sort. And let me see if I can find an example. Okay. Here's one. Dear Off the Wall, on the most recent shows, you asked why people have and want to keep assault weapons. As someone who has regular exposure to guns of all kinds, from family and friends and law enforcement, I feel qualified to respond. I never played the music, did I? I'm going to play the music in the background. Because, why can't I hear the music in the background? Oh, I see, because, I'm sorry. All right, this got very confusing for the people out there, but I played the music in the future. Because these knobs fell off, and I can't see what direction they're pointing, but now they're pointing the right way, so you should hear the music under me now. Yeah, that's better. I just feel more comforting having the music back there. Okay. This is how the show should have started. If all the wires hadn't been in the wrong place. Okay, so continuing with the assault weapon issue here. Why do I have assault weapons? Because they're more intimidating to an attacker than a smaller weapon. Okay. Because they're fun to shoot. Okay, there you go. That's an honest answer. They're fun to shoot. 3 points for honesty there. Because blowing holes and things is a good way to kill some time. I often destroy my dead PCs with an MP5. Yeah, I can accept that, too. Good answer. And most important reason, because they can. Well, yeah, okay, great. You can do a lot of things, but you can also do a lot of things in a very stupid manner. Anyway, with freedom comes responsibility, and unfortunately someone chose to abuse their freedom and take innocent life. This does not, however, mean that the freedom of others should be limited as a response. It would be nice if you gun people would apply this to all sorts of other things, but you don't. Because somebody abuses freedom of speech in one form, well, okay, I guess we have to restrict it in all the forms. I mean, it just doesn't work. Somebody's going to bring a bomb onto an airplane, so everybody has to deal with all sorts of inconveniences. And you accept that. You accept all the censorship that goes on the radio and on television because some people can't handle it. And you accept the gradual decline and sometimes rapid decline of freedom of all sorts due to the war on terror. Because, well, we all have to make sacrifices. But something gets triggered when, no pun intended, when guns are involved, And I just wish the spirit would kind of translate itself over to other more important things. And yes, I said that, more important things. Because, yeah, it's nice to have toys, it's nice to have things that are fun to shoot. But let's face it, that's all they are. They're not going to overthrow the government, not that you'd lift a finger trying. And I'm not talking to this one particular letter writer, by the way. I'm talking to a horde of people out there, the ones with the stakes outside downstairs. Basically, most of the reasons that are given are nice and grandiose and ideological, but they just don't stand up when you apply what's going on in the world to them. People say, well, it's to take down a dictatorial regime if the government goes against the people. Over 80% of the people now say that the government is a bad thing. The Bush administration is working against the people. Where are you guys? You're not running down there with your guns, taking over the government, taking it back to the people. And something tells me that you'd be the last people to do that. Prove me wrong, please. Anyway, continuing with this letter here, let's give this poor guy a chance. You also asked what other weapons can kill that many people that fast, and I have one obvious answer, and this is why we went into this letter in the first place. The four-wheeled steel weapon that many of us drive every day. If I chose to take multiple lives and end my own in the process, as the killer at the party did, I could easily do so with a high-speed head-on collision. Long flat roads are plentiful in Ohio, and my car is both easily capable of over 140 miles per hour and quite massive, so it would be trivial to cause such a collision. It could even look like an accident and just be filed under another stupid teen going too fast. The 2600 van is another great example of a potent weapon. While it probably isn't nearly as fast, I'm willing to bet that it has enough solid steel to easily punch through the wall of a crowded building if it was going 70 to 80 miles per hour. The point I'm trying to make is that if someone snaps and decides to take some lives, they're going to do it one way or another. Contrary to what the anti-gun lobby believes, limiting our freedoms is not going to save lives. What do criminals care if some weapon is made illegal? When you kill somebody or rob some place, whether your weapon is legal becomes a non-issue. It won't affect availability either, as the war on drugs has shown. Signed, Sean. Well, Sean, thanks for your letter. And I obviously take exception to some of those statements. First of all, I'm not stating, and I never have, that people should have their guns taken away from them. I'm saying people need to be responsible. And what I see out there are just a lot of stupid people. I'm not saying you're a stupid person. I'm saying there are stupid people out there that don't know how to be responsible. And they are a threat to society. And we have to deal with threats to society. Society has to do that. Never mind the government, because everybody hates the government. Let's talk about us as people, individuals, groups of people, organizations of various sorts. If people were driving vehicles into crowds all the time, I'm sure there'd be more action taken against vehicles. More stringent licensing requirements, perhaps. With guns, you don't see that. Because everybody's running scared. And while you can say that, a car is a weapon. Yeah, it is to a degree. But you're not going to go around shooting up a high school with a car. You're not going to drive through the hallways and keep mowing people down. You're not going to do this in a mall. You're not going to get away with something like that more than once. And you certainly won't take out as many people as quickly who have no way of getting out like those poor kids in Seattle did. It's just not the same thing. Yeah, it's bad, and you can use anything as a weapon. I agree with that completely. But these are things that are designed to be weapons and nothing else. I just don't buy that you need a bigger weapon to intimidate someone with a smaller weapon. Because where does that stop? And isn't that just what Iran is trying to do? If you support having a bigger weapon to intimidate somebody with a smaller weapon, then you got to support the right of a nation to defend itself against a bully. And that's how they see us. Whether they're right or wrong, they should have that right. We should have that right. We should be able to have tanks. We should be able to have personal nukes. Where does it end? Okay, I want to read one or two more letters on that subject. And hopefully move on to other fun things. Why do people insist on pushing you or backing you into a corner until one reaches that breaking point? That's in response to our discussion about how everyone has a breaking point. and how if you hit that breaking point and you happen to have a gun in your hand, a lot more unpleasant things are likely to happen. And that's what I think people fail to realize, is that they're all human and nobody is perfect. Everyone imagines they're perfect. Oh, I'll be able to handle the stress in a bad situation. I'll be cool as a cucumber. I've seen people go off the deep end that you would not believe would go off the deep end. Deep end, that is, yes. It can happen to anybody. You have to remember that. Anyway, continuing here. What part of no don't they understand? I have a rule that I will say no 3 times. If I'm asked that same question again, I'll start yelling and lecturing about what they just did to me. Okay, well, that's pretty frightening right there. I will rant and rave for a good hour. You better hope they don't have a gun. What gets me is that same person will turn around and do the exact same thing to set me off a week or so later. People are just so stupid and into themselves. Agreed. I do agree with that. Present company included. Dear Emmanuel, I would first like to say I love listening to your shows and have been for several years. I also attended the Fifth Hope. I was listening to the March 28th show and thought I would send you an email about the incident of the Washington man shooting up a rave after party. I heard about this incident in a firearms forum that I frequently visit and can say that everyone there felt the same way you did, anger and frustration towards this individual for taking the lives of others. Incidents such as these have been going on for years and will continue to go on. I did, however, want to answer your question as to why people should be able to own such firearms. I won't go into the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution rhetoric because people have different views on that matter, and you've probably heard it several times already. Several is putting it lightly. The main reason why people own such weapons is for personal defense. People who don't live in cities often live a fair distance away from police and have long response times. There are many instances where a firearm may be your only choice between life and death. I know several families, that is, including my own, who own firearms in their homes. Fortunately, we have never had to use these firearms to defend ourselves, but we prefer the option of doing so. Is there a world out there that I just am unfamiliar with? Is the Wild West still in existence? What's happening to you guys out there? Are you being invaded by armies or just people jumping into your houses in the middle of the night? Does that really happen a lot? I mean, I know it happens. I know there are crimes. But so much so that you have to keep an arsenal to protect yourselves? Because that's just sad. It shouldn't be that way. We should be living in a civilized country. I think the odds of somebody stumbling upon your weaponry and using it accidentally, or, you know, shooting a family member you think is a burglar, or a kid not knowing the true safety precautions to use when handling a firearm, I think those scenarios are a lot more likely to play out than you being able to see the cavalry coming over the hill and be able to mow them down before they get to your house. I mean, yeah, I can understand wanting to be safe. I can understand having something that you can get to. But does it have to be an Uzi? Does it have to be something that can take down an entire row of people? I just don't get that, unless it's really bad out there. I thought gang wars in cities were bad, but it sounds like you guys out there in the sticks. I mean, ooh. Anyway, continuing here. If this individual did not have these weapons, do you really think it would have stopped him? I doubt it. I don't doubt it. I think it would have. He would have killed somebody, sure, but he wouldn't have killed so many people so quickly, so effectively, because he was using a killing machine. Say what you like about cars, they do serve other purposes. Anyway, he would have simply found some other form of weapon and used that instead of a firearm. You know, I can't think of a weapon that you can kill people so quickly. Unless, you know, he planted a bomb in the house. I suppose that's one weapon. But that doesn't happen very often. Have you noticed? People don't plant bombs when they're trying to kill a lot of people quickly. In this country, that is. Maybe it'll catch on. The main point I'm trying to get at is that people are going to do stupid and illogical things no matter what you do. Which is exactly my point. There are numerous ways for one person to kill another, and trying to take away every object that someone can use to do so is unrealistic, and I agree with that too. I'm not saying take away all the objects. I'm saying have some responsibility. Think about the things that you have in your home. Think about who has access to these things. Think about why you want to have that particular thing. Is it overkill, perhaps? Fine, you want to shoot things and feel cool? That's one thing. It's not the same world as protecting your family, though. It's a different world, and you should treat it as such. Continuing with the letter, if you ban firearms, people will just use knives. If you ban knives, people will use cars. You know what? None of those will do the same kind of damage. I personally think that the weapons used in this incident are superficial. The real problem is the individual who committed this atrocity. I enjoy going to raves and find it strange that such people were targeted in this incident. Anyway, thanks for spending the time to read this. I look forward to your upcoming shows. Signed, Zaffer. Thanks, Zaffer, for writing in. And hope you don't mind the commentary too much, but it's an interesting topic. Very interesting. We have a musical piece I'd like to get to because we are running out of time. And I'd also like to give out the phone number in the brief amount of time we have left because we don't have very much. We only have about 10 minutes. It's an abbreviated show tonight. And I have to turn the broken knobs here for things to work. Our phone number is area code 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. You can call us and actually be on the air. You'll be somewhat delayed, but it'll be good to hear voices again because we haven't done this in quite a while. This person wrote in with a good song. They heard actually listening to Pacifica Radio and found on the Internet. It's kind of a political song with a familiar tune. Let's take a listen, and hopefully we'll have some calls when we get back. 631-632-9872.
And on Friday, I stood up and said, I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. He's doing a fine job. I strongly support him.
Well, what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
What is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
Okay, thanks very much for that, listener, for sending that one in. You can get your own copy at decider.cf.huffingtonpost.com. Huffingtonpost.com. And, wow, not bad. Not bad. Nice to hear some original melodies out there. That'd be kind of cool. We had a bunch of calls, but they all hung up. How do you like that? This is how it works, folks. You got to stay on the line, because by the time we got back, you were all gone. And again, if one person calls, we need more than one person. Because, you know, Could be a crackpot out there. We don't know. We don't know who's out there. We don't have caller ID. We have no idea. Going into this blind. 631-632-9872. We only have a few minutes left. So if you hear this and you're near a phone, give a call. And if I see more than one call on the line, I'm going to pick it up. Pick one of them up anyway. Okay, speaking of crazy things in the White House, sources close to the White House said yesterday that Fox anchor Tony Snow is likely to accept the job as White House press secretary. You know, these stories just write themselves, don't they? We have Fox News anchors becoming spokespeople, literally, for the White House. It doesn't get any better than this. They don't care anymore. They're not trying to hide. There's more I could say on this story, but I think enough is said. Here's a list of something to add to the list of things you can no longer do. A 53-year-old German woman who was driving her dead mother across the country to save on mortuary transportation costs was fined by police for disturbing a dead person's peace. You're not allowed to transport dead people to in your private car. Not allowed to transport dead people in your private car. That's according to Ralf Schomisch, a police spokesman in Koblenz, where the car was found after a tip-off from a mortuary. I see there's one call on the line. See if there's another one out there, and we'll start picking up. 631-632-9872. The corpse was on the back seat without a seatbelt, which in this case didn't really matter. but it was covered up with clothing. It is a misdemeanor. He said the woman who was not identified was charged with violating burial laws and disturbing a dead person's peace. What a silly charge. Disturbing a dead person's peace. You don't know. You don't know if a dead person feels at peace or not. You don't know anything. All right. I see this call, so I'm going to take one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. Could you speak up a little bit, because I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
All right. Is that better?
Yeah, I think that's better. Go ahead.
Okay.
We only have a couple of minutes, too, so you got to make it kind of short.
I just wanted to... take a look at the countries that have, like England or Canada. You don't see people shooting themselves apart the way they do here. They've got a greater restriction on their guns.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not convinced that it's because of the restriction so much. I think it's also because of the attitude. Like, we live in a very violent society for some reason. And I, you know, this is one thing where I actually do agree with the pro-gun people. We'd see violence even without the guns. I just don't think it would be as horrific. And I think it's sort of, you know, one hand feeding the other. We have so many weapons. We have so much violence around us. And the two just sort of go hand in hand, you know?
The chicken egg thing. I don't think at this point you could even disarm America because true, we've let it go so long that only the evil would have guns.
Right, right. And... That's not what I'm about when I'm talking about why this is a problem. I'm not about disarming people. I'm about getting people to think, to realize that, hey, this is irresponsible and just plain dumb.
Well, I just am always encouraged by other countries when it comes to supporting limitation of restricting rights of guns and getting tougher on illegal guns.
I prefer to think of it as just promoting responsible behavior. When you say limiting rights, that implies that the right is there to start with that is being curtailed. And I just don't think this is what the founding fathers had in mind, with people running around with Uzis.
I think the nobility of your idea would exceed the... I mean, that's why we have laws. People just can't necessarily follow an idea, an ideal, as pure as that, you know, govern thyself, whatever. I just am heartened by the sanity in other countries, other civilized countries, where the prolificacy of gun ownership is somehow was legally, corralled in many, many years ago.
Okay, thanks for your call. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Long Island.
Okay. Well, it's kind of nebulous, but thanks very much for being our first call. And you're going to be our last call for tonight because this is a curtailed show. We have the lacrosse game coming up. But the delay seems to be working okay. We'll hopefully get out of it as gracefully as we got into it, and maybe even more so. Until next week, Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night. Remember to write to us, otw@2600.com. See you.